Garrett Ilsen here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Jethro Sheeran, who goes by the professional name Lone Star, is a British musician, music producer, rapper, and fashion model from Bristol, United Kingdom. He is a number one Billboard and multi-award-winning artist who's collaborated with several famous musicians, including Tupac, Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, Macy Gray, Akon, DaBaby, Freeway, Snoop Dogg, Michael Jackson, Rick Ross, Triple Red, Young Thug, Wiz Khalifa, amongst many others. Lone Star is the first cousin of Ed Sheeran, as their fathers are brothers. Lone Star has written and produced songs with his cousin Ed Sheeran. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Jethro Sheeran, otherwise also known as a Lone Star. Where do we find you in the world? How are you doing and what's happening in your life?
Thank you for having me. Firstly, I am currently in Denmark. I reside here. I'm from the UK, a town called Bristol. Lived in London for 10 years. I lived in Trinidad for about 4 years on and off between there and Bristol and London. And currently, yeah, I reside, my studio is in Denmark now, just because my daughter's mother moved here and I used to come and visit a lot. And yeah, I just fell in love with the place. So that's where I'm, that's what I call home now. I have a house here and a studio, and I'm continuing with my record label, Urban Angel Records, here, and just building a big platform for my artists and myself at the moment.
Lovely.
It's been great. I've been here since lockdown. So that was my biggest year, because I wasn't touring and I was just concentrating on releasing music. So yeah, that's me, Jethro, Lone Star Sheeran, in Denmark, living and loving life.
Brilliant. Let's rewind it all the way back to the beginning. At what age did you recognize, whether it was as a child or teenager, that, okay, cool, I want to get myself involved or be in the entertainment industry? How did that transpire and progress to where we are now? So the long version or the hybrid version of Jethro's entertainment story.
Okay, so when I got into music, and I started off writing poetry probably about 10 years old. I didn't really look into being like an entertainer. It was purely therapy for me. So I was writing poetry because I was just talking about things at school, what I, mm-hmm. The teacher I didn't like, or the girl I fancied and loved, or whatever, people that didn't like me, so I was just writing down all my fears, anxieties and insecurities. And that's why I'm actually called a Lone Star, because my mum used to come into the bedroom, and we'd just gone into a new house, and there was no curtains in my bedroom at the time, and there was a North Star that would just beam down into my room. So she'd come and turn the lights out, you have to go to bed early because school tomorrow and all of that. And I used to have a pen and pad underneath my bed. And as soon as she left the room, then I started writing poetry underneath this North Star. So it became like a Lone Star. And also at the time, I just felt really alone. And also since then, when I started developing into more professional and more kind of like entertainment vibes, like music wise, I was doing everything myself. So I was writing, singing, rapping, doing the production and the music, even though it's pretty bad back then. But I kind of called myself a Lone Star when I was about 19 years old. And then I started to take music quite seriously. And then I heard a song by Tupac called Dear Mama, which really kind of changed my life, because I thought this, hard gangster rapper, he can write love song about his mother and be, soft and kind and nice. And like, I just really kind of thought, okay, maybe I could be a rapper. Do you know what I mean? So I wrote a song about my mum after that. You know, I started to kind of turn poetry into raps, and I was trying to sing. I couldn't sing very well. And then I just kind of formed this kind of vocal style. I was from Bristol in the UK. So, the main big bands there was like Portishead and Massive Attack. They're quite melancholic. So I was listening to them a lot. Actually, they're working for my stepdad, so I got to know them really well. And I kind of really delved into that Bristol sound. And it kind of developed into kind of this live sounding cinematic hip hop sort of vocal thing. And then obviously Ed Sheeran is a cousin of mine, and we the only two Sheerans in the music in the family that were into music like so passionately. And he was much more into the kind of guitar, bass, singer songwriter stuff that he is today, but I was more hip-hop and rap. So when we got together at weddings and funerals and birthdays in the family, we used to kind of collaborate and perform for the family. he plays guitar and sing the choruses, and I would kind of do the drums, either if it is playing out of a sampler or something, or just rap over his guitar. And then it kind of developed a different sound once again. So it's kind of folky rap with storytelling. We're both into really like hip hop artists like Nas, and real kind of painting pictures in your music and your storytelling in, singing or rapping. So that kind of developed organically and naturally as well. So it kind of, that's sort of my background, how I kind of got into sort of the music business. And then in 2004 is when I started my label Urban Angel with Ed, and we released my first EP was called Clipped Wings that he featured on, and then he had his EP, which I featured on that. And mine was more hip-hop, his was more singer-songwriter sort of stuff. He kind of produced loosely his one, and I did mine, and then just kind of we continued our paths, and he continued to be one of the biggest stars in the world, which is amazing. And I just developed into more of a hip hop kind of independent artist. I run my own record label. I do all my releases myself. I've had a deal with Sony, which was a distro deal. So I've got an advance, and I used that money to develop my label, basically. And then here we are today, 100 million streams,
Well,
independent myself. So yeah, very proud of that.
when I was reading your Wikipedia page, it mentioned that you have collaborated with a number of artists besides Ed, and I see you've got a new remix or collaboration with Macy Gray that has just recently come out.
Yeah, that was released last Friday.
Yes.
So it's the end of June, and that came out last Friday, and it's done over a third of a million streams, so
Well.
360,000, I think. So I'm really pleased about that, because I'm a huge fan of Macy Gray when she was doing her thing back then, and I saw her live, paid to see a ticket in London, and but now, yeah, it's just I'm so happy about this track, because it's kind of yeah, it's a 20-year-old producer from Denmark who's never had more than 50 streams in all his songs released, and then he's kind of got given a chance, and that's what I think music's all about. And it's one of the biggest songs I've released in the last couple of months, except the Ed Sheeran stuff. It's really hit home, and he's yeah, made his day. It's a great song too.
Well, actually, I was listening to that song and that's when I decided I'm going to reach out to you for the podcast. I was like, okay, I want to
Oh, that's
reach.
so cool.
And I actually reached out to Macy Gray as well within the same couple of minutes. So putting it out there, I'll be interviewing her shortly. So you do your own type of music when it's just yourself, and then you collaborate with Ed, Macy, all these various other artists. What's the
Yeah,
difference
absolutely.
between when you do your own stuff and when you collaborate with other artists? Do you prefer one or the other, or you equally enjoy both? Give us the rundown on that.
Okay, so I equally enjoy both, because usually 90% it's me releasing the songs and they're featuring on my music. So it's almost like my release. So most of the songs that I've done with Ed, he's released three, I think, with me on his in his early days, but now he's fiercely kind of just it's just Ed. So I kind of like, I'll be honest, I have to, because I'm not so into his music. I don't listen to it. I would never buy it, and I'd never listen to it if he wasn't my cousin. So I'm much more proud of my songs with Tupac, Macy Gray, Ghostface Killah. I'm a hip hop head at heart, and that's just he's into stuff we wrote, because he's so contracted and signed up to Warner's and everything, that I can't actually do new songs with him, and I'm not sure I want to anyway, because I just feel like it's kind of riding on coattails and things. So I'm much more prouder of these collaborations with these artists that I respect from childhood, like Tupac and Wiz Khalifa. I mean, not from childhood, that one, but there's so many great artists that I've been working with. It's been like a dream come true. So my own stuff, I feel like I can be a bit more personal, whereas the features I have to be a bit universal. So I have to kind of make it a little bit more universal in what I'm saying and the narrative of the song, and make it yeah, just kind of concentrate on the hooks and make it more radio friendly. Whereas my own personal things, I can do whatever I like, and I just feel I don't care if radio play it. So that's the kind of difference. I just feel like my own songs is just me and about my own experiences and stuff. But the problem is, when I'm in Denmark and I'm happy living, here with my daughter in this house, and I've got my dog and my garden, and everything just seems great. So I find it hard to like find that struggle and that pain to write to. So a lot of my stuff is very happy. Whereas when I was back home in Bristol and I was going through a lot of bad times, I would write every day. It would just pour out of me. So it's like therapy. I find that if an interesting collaboration comes on and it's a topic that challenges me a little bit, and I can go deep and really get into myself and write something amazing, then it always comes out very well. So I enjoy both processes, to be honest. But when I put pen to paper, there's always a reason for it when something comes out that's magic, because it needs to haunt me almost to make me actually speak about it and give me a kick up the arse to actually put pen to paper and go, wow, I feel this, and it's so deep and painful that I have to express myself about it. So yeah, it's a great question, actually. I think both, but generally my own stuff turns me on more to write to and stuff. It makes me feel more like just free, and it's like it's me, it's my life. You know, I've actually did a song called My Life about that, so it's crazy you asked that. So everyone should go check out My Life, A Lone Star, because yeah, I'm just talking about it's my life, and I have to live it how I live it, and this is what I do, and hopefully people can resonate and relate, and yeah, enjoy the track. And that's another one that did really well. I think people, the listener, appreciates honesty in your music, and if they can that honesty, and you're not just kind of talking, you know, especially being a white rapper, people just think you're talking about bling bling, you know, Benz and girls and parties and stuff. That's not me at all, because that's my Bristol upbringing with Massive Attack. You know, they're very conscious. I listen to a lot of reggae as well, which is very conscious. Obviously, a great artist, Sugar Man. That documentary really touched home because I love Bob Dylan and things like that. You know, I'm into so many different styles of music. Like, I kind of, my own production is kind of operatic and classical music mixed with 80s and like 90 samples and strings and like cinematic and film score type vibes mixed with all sorts of stuff. Sometimes I sample children's programs, the music from that, because I just love the melodies because they're so simple. So I think music to me is about the spirit. It's not just about, there's the music business, so you have to have a business head on you. But I leave that to the lawyers and management. But the music part is definitely about the spirit, and I think that's what comes first. When you feel it in your heart and your soul, I really believe that that's where the real music comes from. So you can write all day about, you know, whatever that's generic and just to write hooks and choruses for the radio. But I never really feel much pleasure with that, even hearing it on the radio. I mean, I've had a number one record, a number one Billboard, and also I've been played on Radio One and One Extra, which is the biggest station here in the UK. And I never really felt so much because it was what they wanted. We'll raise them up. That's put your hands in the air, party vibes and stuff. But I guess you have to do both, really, to sell records. You need to kind of, you know, it is a business as well. So it's very much, I'm kind of caught in the middle. But I enjoy everything about my career so far. I'm having a great time making music, producing, writing, singing. I've explored singing recently. And I'm really getting into my singing now. And because I used to write songs, but I have other artists come in and sing them. Or I'd get, you know, like Macy Gray, for instance, who would, you know, sing the chorus and stuff, who's a much better singer than me. But now I'm really loving expressing myself via singing. So there's a bit of tuning going on, but that's okay.
What was the kick up the arse, so to speak, to say, okay, I'm going to try singing now? Was it a confidence thing? What was the thing, okay, that you're going to do it now compared to getting other people into that studio to do it for you?
Yeah, great question, because I was just talking to a producer the other day about this. So I became a rapper because I couldn't sing when I was
Yes.
young. So I just left it alone. I just thought, I can rap. I'm really good at timing and delivery and like lyrics. And well, I felt I was. And I could kind of do that. But when I was trying to sing choruses, because a lone star does everything by himself, I thought. So I tried singing. I just couldn't really hit it. And I used to listen to a lot of women singers like Mariah Carey or Celine Dion. So when I was having a shower or bath and stuff, my mum used to say to me, why are you always singing in a high voice? Because I'd sing really high because I'd be following them. You know, I'd be singing female big belter like ballads and stuff like that. But almost getting it, but I never really sang in my own sort of tone. And then an artist from Uganda called Herbert Skills, I started working with him on a project, and I was like, oh my God, I've written this great song, but so and so could sing. And no, you should sing it. I really think you can do this. And they were huge belters. So when I was doing long notes, I found them so easy, and because they were, you know, high long notes, I would really find super easy. It was the tricky sort of low end sort of vocals that was tricky. But he taught, you know, he produced me, is really. He was a vocal producer. And we got through it, and I got some amazing songs. So since then, I've just kind of continued that. And I've sung loads of my hooks. So it's almost like singing, it's like rap with a melody. Yeah. So I wouldn't call myself a huge singer or a huge producer. You know, I don't play a lot of instruments, but I'm a beat maker and a singer. I would definitely say.
So you mentioned early on that the writing songs is about the heart, the spirit, and so forth. So
Yeah.
does that heart and spirit come easily each time when you're writing, or is it sometimes a challenge to get those words out?
Yeah, I mean, also a great question because I just before we got on this Zoom call, I was writing a song and it's very deep and stuff, but I just couldn't really get into it because I wasn't feeling the emotion really. So yeah, it can be challenging at times to be able to kind of get into that space. I guess it's like an actor trying to get into character, I guess, like to reminisce about certain things in your life that you can reach to give you support to write these songs or help you act that character. And I've got a hell of a lot of stuff in my life that I can go deep and reach out to, but I don't like going to some of those places. But when I do, it comes really dark. So I think now I'm just kind of fantasizing with scenarios and writing songs out of what I wish would happen. It's like a kind of fantasy of, dreams coming true and things like that. They're really cool because you kind of like it's what you manifest and what you want. So I'm writing songs that don't even exist. That has happened to me, but it's what I want to happen. So I'm manifesting it via song, basically. So even a song about the future in 2 years' time, where I want to be, things like that. So yeah, I mean, it is about the spirit. I mean, if you feel it in my, if I really feel it in my spirit, I really feel like it comes out and it comes out right. And it's just that's a song that's put there forever in all eternity. And that is my expression at that time, how I felt. And also, you can feel a bit naked because when you're exposing yourself lyrically about how you feel and your anxiety and fears and insecurities and how you're sad and you're crying or you're on the floor like feeling completely anxious and you're kind of giving away your whole secrets to who you are. Because in this day and age I feel like Instagram and TikTok, everyone's just so successful, loads of money, Porsches and traveling the world, and everyone's just talking about all the great stuff, and like it's vulnerable to be not a success almost.
Yeah.
But really, it's a part of life, isn't it? I mean, to me, success is a journey, not a destination. And I've always felt that I enjoy the journey. Whereas a lot of artists, they just want to be rich and famous super quick and like get there. And, that's what it's all about. They just want to be famous so they can get all the girls and all the money and all the private jets and hotels and jewelry. And, but really, when you get there, everyone I know that's really succeeded to that level have never been happy. They look back and go, I missed like 5 years of my life working nonstop. I was on the road. So I didn't actually get to see much of the countries I was touring in. Because I was either in a bus or a hotel or a plane, and I had to rush off, and everything's a super rush, interviews, radio, boom, 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 boom. And you never really get time to breathe and look at what you're actually achieving and enjoy it. So being independent allows me to do that, I find, because I can pick and choose. I could wake up tomorrow and say, nope, I'm not doing any of this. And I'm going to take 2 weeks off. And, so that's what I really love about being independent and having independence in the music business, because I choose what I do and when I do it. And it's the only way. And also, I have control, creative control. I can release when I want. So, yeah, I'm really happy with that. And it makes the music that much more therapeutic and makes me happy because I'm controlling everything. And, I get 100% of the income royalties and things like that. I mean, yeah, there's splits with publishing and certain, artists or music musicians that have played on the song, but generally there's no huge major label taking a massive cut and just like your diary is 6 months to a day off, cash cow. And that's what happens at high level. And I just don't really like that. It's not about, I don't think music's about that and stuff, but it depends what you want. I'm all about helping others and helping people, and I don't want to have the number one record in the universe and be the first man to perform on the moon or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not my, to me, it's not selfish, it's ambitious, and I'm very ambitious, but I'm ambitious to help others through music. And
Yes.
there's a time MySpace was around. I don't know if you know MySpace or remember it, but there was a social media, it was one of the first, and you could reach out to people all over the world. And there was a American woman, and this is the first time I felt the power of music. And she had two Native American sons, a Native Indian, half Native sons who went to war in Iraq, I believe. Anyway, both of them died, and she was absolutely devastated. I don't think they had a father, and she lost both sons in the Iraqi war. And she was on this MySpace platform. You can have four songs that people can listen to, and they can comment and stuff. It's like the first social media. She had listened to one of my songs, and it had a Native American flute that I sampled. It was called Catalyst, Global Themes. It's world issue kind of. It's very, very positive and about how the world can change and things like that. She was about to commit suicide, hanging herself. She was drunk on gin, And she listened to my song and didn't kill herself because she listened to my song, then messaged me, which I still have a screenshot of, and said, "Thank you so much for your music. I lost my sons." And we became friends to this day. And, you know, to save a life through your own music that no one had heard, really, probably 2,000 people on the planet had heard it, and she was one of them. And to save a life through music, that's what really inspired me and went, "Oh my God, you can change lives."
Wow,
And she's
you've
still
given me goose pimples.
crazy. So I actually feel like, you know, whether she would have changed her mind or whatever, but she told me that she had listened to my song Catalyst and it had changed her life. And, you know, she didn't commit suicide because of that song, because she heard these native flutes and they spoke to her and it was like, "No, you have to live." And I think she's happily married now as well, remarried and things like that. I mean, obviously it's a sad story, but it's
Yeah.
just in it that just completely blew my mind. And I was like, wow, I didn't know what to say. So, you know, I was a lot younger then.
I read that, you know, you, for example, you produce Bars and Melodies album and a couple of other artists' projects. When you're producing solely for another artist and you're not going to be involved in the sense of it's not going to be your voice that's going to be heard on the tracks, how is that different compared to when you are producing yourself?
Well, when I produced the album, I wrote some of the raps. They did most of it, but when I
Yeah.
wrote some of the raps for them, it was the first time I've ever really produced another artist and not been
Okay.
on the record itself. So that's, yeah, that you're right what you're saying. How was it? I didn't actually mind it too much because seeing their success, they had a much younger fan base, so it wasn't like a competitive thing. They were a lot younger than me at the time, and when we recorded, I was just honored to just get into my production and kind of guide them into, you know, how to work bars and melodies, actually. Funny enough, because they were just like, "Rap, when do I stop rapping and when do I start singing?"
Yeah.
So the two were taking guidance, and I had a great team. There was a good budget as well, so I brought a lot of live sounding music into it, so live violins and cellos. And so if you listen to that record 143, there was a lot of live music in it, and I was experimenting with my production at the time as well. Had brilliant engineers, so I didn't really mind when we were on stage or they were on stage. I usually come and introduce them, so I had a part of the show, you know. I'd come on and maybe do one song and introduce them and things like that. So would I do that now? Great question. I don't know. Would I want to be a producer? I think I'm so focused on my own career. I think I'd have to be vocaling on my own songs right now. So I haven't done that since, to be honest. I've not produced a song for another artist except myself since then, actually. No, not
Okay.
once. You see, that means I want to do it myself. And yeah, I want to hear my own voice and my own records, I think. And that's my future, I think. Day and age, I'm releasing so many songs, I wouldn't have time, because I just think if I produce a song for them, why not do it for myself? Back then, we had 3 months to produce an album, or 4 months even. But now I'm doing a song a week. So to go outside my schedule would be very difficult.
You're putting that energy, so you might as well put it into yourself.
Exactly. And that's how I feel right now. Yeah, I'm in such a creative mode right now. And yeah, I mean, I can write a hell of a lot of pop songs and stuff like that right now, but I'm kind of trying to get back into the deep and the depth of songwriting. And I've just been out in Cannes. I was in France
Yes.
performing in a show, and it was a music, it was after the Cannes Film Festival. It's the Cannes Music Festival, Me Cannes, it's called. And I performed, headlined it in the evening at the theater out there. And then the whole, you know, I was listening and meeting songwriters and stuff, and it really inspired me to get back and really challenge myself to get really good at songwriting. It's good to experience that and have great chats with people that are amazing songwriters. You know, there was a guy that had worked with Whitney Houston. He was her piano player. He was talking about songwriting and how he kind of does it. And there's lots of things that I learned from that little trip just now, and it gave me a massive inspiration to come home. So I'm full of energy and full of kind of songs in my head what to write about. As soon as I get a title, I kind of it flows so much easier. So I think, what am I going to write about? Which feels generic, but once I get some kind of a title of a song, it kind of flows out.
So now while we're talking about songs, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, I know your answer and I recognize your answer will be different every time. And I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying if that you had to push play to five songs by other artists, once we've finished this conversation, what would those songs be and by whom?
Number one would probably be "Fade Into You" by Mazzy Star. It would definitely be a Bob Marley song, probably "Natural Mystic." "Knocking on Heaven's Door," Bob Dylan. Three, four would probably be "Hearts of Men," Tupac Shakur. One more would have to be "Dear Mama," Tupac, because that's what started my career. So
Cool.
I could go on, I could do 10, but yeah,
Yeah.
that's the But you can see the different styles there.
Yes. So you mentioned you're busy working on the new album. Can you give us any sneak peeks or ideas of when's it coming out, what's going to be happening, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't have a release date yet, but I've got a title, and it's called Love and Pain, and the first single is called Changes. And I've done the artwork for that, and I produced pretty much 60% of it. And I'm just focusing on the live instrumentation of the album at the moment. But I'm going to release the waterfall effect on Spotify. So I'm going to release one a week, the same artwork with a different title on the artwork. And I'm going to do 12 of those. And on the 13th, will be a bonus, and that'll be a bonus single, and that'll be the whole album altogether. So each single will be out each week, and then on the final week it will be a bonus song and the whole album together. I aim to do it in September, October, release date, because it's a bit of everything. It's like my last EP was called Ice Face Light, which is an equal amount of light and dark. If you think of a lighthouse for ships, dark light, dark light, dark light, that's an Ice Face Light. So this is similar, where I have five songs that are very kind of positive. I wouldn't say pop and popular, but I'm saying positive and uplifting. And then
Yes.
there's five that's kind of a little bit darker, a little bit more honest and positive, but honest. And like, how there's basically a dark tunnel, and then there's light at the end. So there's always a light at the end of the songs, and then there's two that's a bit of both. So
Okay, cool.
yeah, that should be out in September, October. I'm really excited because this is my next body of work. I produce all the songs, write them all. There's going to be features on it as well. Some amazing features, but it will be predominantly myself. So I'm very excited for that. It'll be my new solo project.
Cool. So we're looking forward to hearing that later on in the year. So Jethro, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Live hard, love strong, stay in touch. Lots of love. Big love to everybody that's listening to you and myself. And I hope we can do another podcast when the album is out and talk again.
Looking forward to that. So as Jethro says, live hard, love hard, all those beautiful things. This is Slaps of Vine signing out.